It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
All right, good to have you with us on a Misery Motown Monday. Final hour, power. And as we do each and every Monday at 3 o'clock, we are joined by the former head coach of the Washington Redskins, longtime offensive coordinator, and just good all-around swell guy, Jay Gruden, on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln. Hey, I got it right this week. And Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle covered. See? And chop them all at TedBritt.com. And without further ado, we say hello to Jay Gruden on the BetQL guest hotline. How are you, Jay?
Good. Did you introduce me as a swell guy?
Well, I said good all-around swell guy after I, like said something else, which I don't remember. Is that okay or no?
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
Okay.
You're good.
I just want to make sure. I mean, you're my guy. You know, Jay. I mean, I would never be critical of you. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would never question you or, I don't know, say that I know more about football than you.
Never. Why would you do that?
Just teasing. All right, so let's start with, a couple of the big picture items that we've been, chomping it up about is the spot on the Zach Ertz 4th and 9. Jay, I don't understand why we don't have digital ball technology. I guess they tested it out during training camp or preseason or whatever. Like in a sport that, they care more about playing in Afghanistan and North Korea and every other country that nobody cares about anything to make more money. And they have all this digital technology with the next gen stats that measures everything. And all the players' heartbeats and this, that, and how we don't have a system to just get an accurate measurement that everybody can see and that there's no dispute about. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling with all the money that's out there. They can't figure it out. I mean, just look a couple weeks ago at the Falcons-Buccaneer game when Kyler Pitts dropped that ball before the one-yard line.
Yes.
And called a touchdown. You know what I mean? There's plays like that that rear their ugly head, throughout the season. And these are plays that, make the difference in teams going to the playoffs or coaches getting fired. So you would think they would do something.
Well, they did not do anything. And apparently they don't even, re-spot the ball the way it was explained to us because it wasn't a challengeable call. It was under 2 minutes. So Dan Quinn can't say, no, I'm challenging the spot and the line of gain. Apparently they just judge whether or not he crossed over the line of gain and not apparently the spot. I don't know. Just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. What's the coaching point in a situation like that on 4th and 9, which is obviously not easy, in the huddle, on the headsets, on the side, in practice, whatever? Is it always, people say, well, how can they run short of the line of gain? Why don't they, run north? Well, he actually did. He turned around and spun at the 39, but he had to kind of come back for it. So how, as a coach, do you evaluate the Zach Ertz part of that play?
Well, I think there's a lot of different parts to it. Sometimes you have an element that is a short element trying to attract the hook defender and then that route coming behind it. You can't have two guys in the same spot, so you got to have some route distribution. That's number one. But obviously number two is, especially on 4th down and 9, you want to have at least 3, maybe 4 guys that are getting to the sticks. And you always tell your players that you want to get 2 yards beyond the sticks, because if the ball brings you back, you will still have a first down. That's the most important point. You don't want to just run, if it's 4th and 9, 9 yards, because if the quarterback throws, you got to come back to the ball. You're going to be short. That's such a bang-bang play. It just kills you that it had to come down to that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, before we get to the rest of the offense and things that I wanted to ask you about, your view of the Johnny Newton defensive NZI. I mean, listen, I understand that nobody really thought with a minute left, 4th and 1, that they were going to run that play, the Steelers. So, of course, somebody's got to be screaming, don't jump, don't jump, don't jump. And maybe they were. I don't know. How would you handle that if you were his head coach or defensive coordinator?
Well, I think I think, you know, that's kind of Bobby Wagner's job and Frankie and Deron Payne. That's got to be a communication process by everybody before the ball snapped. So, yeah, I don't know if they went hurry up on that play and they didn't get the communication down.
They did. They came quick.
They did go hurry up.
Yeah, so, they came quick out of the huddle. So,
yeah, that you'd like to think that Wagner would be the one in control. Hey, don't jump, or somebody like that, especially come from a linebacker. He's a rookie and wanted to make a big play, and unfortunately – it was a bonehead play.
Yeah, no doubt. And it ultimately cost them any chance of kicking a game-winning field goal. What did you think of Jaden Daniels yesterday? Because, you know, the positive side is, well, it was against a really tough defense, and he had some drops, non-catches. The negative side is, Jay, you know, he was inaccurate at times, and he was rushed at times, and he didn't run well or have the opportunities, and ultimately he missed, especially Luke McCaffrey, streaming across the middle of the field.
Yeah, he missed a couple throws on characteristic, yep, and he made a couple really good throws that were dropped, and he had some plays that, quite frankly, nobody was open. I think Pittsburgh did a good job of clubbing the receivers on certain plays in critical situations. You know, Terry got free a couple times, but I think if there's one need right now, just watching Washington, it's another receiver that could separate. You know, Zach's getting up there a little bit, and, you know, Noah Brown, Deami Brown, you know, they're not much separators. OZ's not much of a separation type guy. So they need somebody that can really separate, you know, against this tight man-to-man, because Pittsburgh played a lot of it, a lot of man-to-man, a lot of single high fire zone type things where they're latched onto the receivers and wasn't a lot of space for him to throw guys wide open. That was a big issue I saw just watching the tape.
Do you think the pass rush affected some of those issues, or do you think it was more on the sticky coverage?
It was both. I think sometimes he had to hold the ball, which allowed the pass rush to get there. Sometimes the pass rush got there before guys could separate. So it was a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to credit Pittsburgh. They've always had a very good pass rush. Actually, he did a pretty good job on T.J. Watt. It was Highsmith.
Yeah.
Some of the other guys that, you know, wreaked havoc up there in the middle. But for the most part, you know, it's just Pittsburgh's defense. That's the way they play. They play tight coverage, and they get after the quarterback.
Yeah. Although on that McCaffrey miss streaming across the middle of the field, I mean, it did look to me, I don't know if you saw it, but on the high end zone view, that the right tackle Trent Scott, who did a pretty decent job, all things considered, did hold T.J. Watt. It looked like to me. I don't know if I saw that right, but it did look like that, and that could have been a safety in that spot. So, you know.
Yeah. Hey, that was a tough throw. He's in the back of the end zone,
right.
Almost stepped out of bounds, like Dan Orlovsky's famous play. You know, and he dropped. You know, he did the best he could to try to drop it to Luke, but unfortunately couldn't get there. And, you know, that's just probably Luke's biggest flaws. He's not the real fast guy, but that's a ball that Jaden typically will hit 9 times out of 10.
Jay Gruden with us, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, as he is each and every Monday. All right, so we covered some of that. Did you have any issue? No B-Rob again. What did they call? 20, I think they rushed 21 times. Not all, obviously, are called. Some are scrambles. Again, under some of that pressure, did you have any issue considering they had 3 rushing touchdowns and they were able to get something going on the ground, but not enough consistently because they also had a lot of negative runs, too?
Yeah, had a lot of negative runs. And I just think they're protecting Jaden just a little bit right now, and rightfully so. You know, he has a sore rib. You can still see it's hampering him a little bit, which affects some of the zone read, the counter pulls that they call, you know, the last first few weeks of the season, first 7 weeks of the season before the injury. I don't think he called many of those. I think he called 1 zone read and a quarterback draw, and that was it for Jaden. So, yeah, I think that had a major impact on the running game, but they still were able to get a few hits on the inside, and, you know, Eckler did a good job. You know, he had 13 for 44, but you know, it's a tough rushing defense, but yeah, I think Brian Robinson Jr. will have a big part Thursday if he can go.
The fake punt, which Danny Smith called, right? You didn't cross over with Danny. No, he was gone before you got here. The fake punt that he called, Jay, they executed it almost perfectly, and the kid who was here during the offseason and in the camp dropped it, James Pierre, right? Or they would have hit it because the Commanders had no answer. Is that, in your opinion, from a coaching perspective, a good call because it should have worked, or a bad call because it's 4th and 15 and you're way deep in your own territory and you almost have to factor in that maybe something's going to go wrong and you're not going to execute the play 100%? How do you kind of, I guess, read that whole?
Yeah, typically that's an automatic. When they leave the gunner blocked, and nobody on the gunner, and they bring him in the blitz, there's an audible. Either the punter throws it or they snap it to the up back and he throws it because there's nobody out there. That's a 25-yard gain. It would have been a 25-yard gain. I think most teams have that in their arsenal. Not many teams on the punt return team leave the flyer by himself like Washington did.
Why did they do that, Jay? Do you know? Like, do you have any?
I don't know. I guess they're trying to get a block punt, and they tried to get somebody tried to buzz out there late, but he was too late. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that was the problem. They brought the guy, the gunner, out there and blitzed him, and the guy popping out was a little bit late. But Pittsburgh saw it. It was an audible, and it was executed. It was perfect for him, but this guy dropped a damn ball.
All right, so I guess, yeah, you know, so much going on one play. I guess I didn't think about that could be very much an audible based on.
Yeah, they wouldn't have called that.
Right, okay. Well, that makes sense, because I was a little confused why Danny would be that aggressive, even though he's an aggressive guy and he's a creative guy, why you'd be that aggressive in that backed up. But that makes sense. Zacchaeus, he had a butchered misjudge against Carolina, and it caused a wild scramble on a ball that ultimately was downed at the 1 yard line several weeks ago. Had a fumble on a punt return against Chicago. Then he muffs the first one yesterday, and then he fumbles and loses the second one. They didn't pull him, but he didn't have a return after that. How would you handle that whole situation, considering a guy who you drafted, Jamison Crowder, who normally would be your number one punt returner and has been, is still on IR? What would you do in this spot if you were, you know, kind of in control of these situations?
Well, I'm sure they're searching for a returner. I don't know if Luke McCaffrey's ever done it before, but he seems
like... In preseason, he had one, Jay.
In preseason, he had one. So, yeah, I don't know if they have the body to do it. Maybe he's the only one out there other than Luke, and obviously Jameson is good at it. He's a reliable returner, but I don't know if there's any defensive backs that can do it or... You know, there are backup receivers that are on the practice squad. Maybe somebody can do that, but they probably got to look that they can change there because that's too many miscues for a punt returner. And it's such a critical part, especially when you're playing in close games. You know, you talk about offense and defense, but it's always come down to a weird special team play. Like Pittsburgh did the fake punt, and then set up a touchdown for Washington, and we dropped the punt and set up a touchdown for Pittsburgh. So these are critical plays when you come playoff time, trying to qualify, trying to win your division on the road. These are big-time plays. You got to have a reliable punt returner, that's for sure.
Yeah, and right now it's hard to say they have anything in that regard that is, again, reliable. But how hard is it to make these changes in general, any changes that you want to make, on a short week in which you have one legitimate practice? And I don't want to say legitimate. I mean, that's going to be probably half speed tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, typically you have, you know, if you got a punt return, he's usually your fourth receiver. You know, it might impact dressing another position. Like you might not be able to dress a sixth defensive lineman or a fifth linebacker or whatever it is. You might have to dress five receivers, have one be a punt returner, and just have to bite the bullet on that one. That's the biggest impact it'll have, unless you get away with, you know, if it's Jamison Crowder, he could be your fourth receiver because he can play multiple spots. That'd be perfect, but he's
right.
hurt. But
right.
I don't know who else they go to. So you probably have to dress an extra guy just to return punts, unfortunately, and you'll be short at another position.
Jay Gruden with us, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. One last one, I guess, on this game. The defense overall, Jay, I mean, they were out there 75 plays. They averaged 4.2 per play. Listen, I know St. Juice and whatever. Thought on how they did overall seemed like they stopped the run, which was good. And B, like in the case of St. Juice, I mean, I was trying to explain it. And, you know, Orlovsky did a good breakdown of it. That's Mike Williams. He shouldn't be blowtorching you, but he's trying to prevent the first down on third and nine and sitting and squatting at the sticks. Is that kind of how you saw all that?
Yeah. I just broke it down myself on a show. So, yeah, he did what he's supposed to do. Mike Williams did a great job of stepping him inside and giving him some room for Russell to throw it down the sideline. You just got to be able to burst out of that. You got to be able to get out of that gate and explode and play his hands the best way you can. Unfortunately, Mike blew by him, and St. Juice doesn't have the speed to keep up. But, you can't fault him for being aggressive at the sticks and not giving up if he would have given up a 10-yard out route, everybody would have been going crazy. How do you give up a 10-yard out route?
Right. That's the coaching point, right? A defensive perspective is don't get beat over the top, but also don't give up the first down on third and nine.
I would rather have St. Juice press. You know, Mike Williams, he hasn't run – by a lot of people lately with the Jets. He didn't make any plays. So I would have rather had him press and be physical with him with the line of scrimmage. That would have been my choice. You know, sometimes if you play off, you know, you get different stems and you get in no man's land and it's uncomfortable. But when you press, you get your hands on him and then you can run with him and play the back shoulder and do all the things necessary. That would be my only coaching adjustment there for St. Juice.
All right. So moving on, Philadelphia demolished Dallas, ultimately pulling away. In that game, Jalen Hurts, a couple of rushing touchdowns. That's something that we've all seen. I think he's got 50 or whatever it is on his career. What's the number one thing right now with them clicking pretty much on all cylinders, having the two big receivers on the outside, Saquon, Jalen seems to be playing better. Like, if you're devising a defensive game plan, are you trying solely and primarily to take away Saquon Barkley, or are you trying to play it kind of straight up and too deep and take away big plays? How are you kind of devising a defensive game plan going into Philadelphia?
I think they have a lot of carryover from this week. Really, the way they played Pittsburgh, they play a lot of, you know, extra guy in the box. Chin was in there. I think Chin had 12 tackles or 10 tackles or whatever it is. Yep. I think he'll be more aggressive in trying to stop the run. I think they proved that they can handle some of the passes down. They just got to can't give up the big plays. You know, unfortunately, they have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, which are pretty good. But I don't know the status of Marshon Lattimore. If he's going to be able to play, that would help out a lot. That would be giving you an opportunity to be more aggressive with your fronts and stop Saquon. Because you're going to have an extra guy down there, just not for Saquon, but for the quarterback designed runs, too. That's what makes Philadelphia so dangerous.
No, you're right.
Their ability to run the ball with the quarterback and obviously Saquon. And then when you do load up the box, you got A.J. Brown and Devontae one-on-one, and he throws those bombs up there. He caught a couple bombs against Dallas yesterday. So they put you in a pickle. You're just going to have to compete and do the best you can and disguise your intent and rally the football and try to force some turnovers.
All right, a quick spin around the NFL. So much, you know, going on, and I don't get to see everything, but I'll just ask you a couple of games that jumped out to me. Kansas City, Jay, I don't want to say they're lucky, but they almost seem lucky, right? Like, they grind out these games, but I guess that's just the sign of being a champion. Great defense, they blocked the kick, they were about to lose, and somehow they're still undefeated.
Yeah, great teams can win in different ways. They can win defense, they can win special teams, they can win on offense. And that's what's the most important. You can't just be one-dimensional once you hit the playoffs. You can't just have a great offense and rely on your offense, because eventually somebody's going to stomp you. And you have to play great defense and special teams. They have all three clicking. And obviously, offensively, they're not where they want to be. They're not even close to where they should be. But they will get there. And when their offense gets right and gets to humming, they're going to be damn near unbeatable. But right now, I think they can be taken advantage of. You know, I think Buffalo will see how they do against a team like Buffalo, how their defense fares against Josh Allen, and how their offense fares against Buffalo's defense. Will be a great test to see exactly where Kansas City is, other than winning like 15 games in a row.
Yeah, can't wait for that.
Yeah, you should know.
And of course, the last time Kansas City was in Buffalo in the playoffs last year, they did win that game, although it came down to the wire. So last night, Jared Goff should have had 5,000 interceptions. He only had 5, and yet Detroit comes back and wins a game. From a coaching perspective, I know Kyami Fairburn's a good kicker and all that. I don't love going for a 58-yarder, Jay, because if you miss it, which is exactly what happened, not only do you miss it and not get the points, but you also give up an extra eight yards or whatever, because they go back to the spot of the actual kick. From a coaching perspective, did you like that decision from DeMeco Ryans, or would you have rather gone for it, or maybe taken a 5-yard delay a game and punted?
He made one earlier in the game, I think a 58-yarder.
56, yeah, you're right, 56.
He made it pretty easily, so I think I've got to let him kick it. He's been pretty damn good, and he showed early in the game he's got plenty of leg to make that thing. He just pulled it, you know, unfortunately. But you're right. I mean, there's a lot of risks involved. You take 5-yard penalty, maybe, you know, and punt it, and then make Jared Goff go 80 yards or 70 yards, whatever it might be, to get a field goal. But I think you got to put it in the hands of your kicker, man, and show the confidence that you have in him. And he could have made it. He had plenty of leg. He just pulled it.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, last one for you, and then we'll spring you loose. How about Kyler Murray and the job that Jonathan Gannon is doing down in Arizona? Because the Commanders laid waste to them in week four, and everything looked like it was going sideways. And since then, I think they've won four in a row, and they just kicked the crap out of the Jets. The Jets missed all sorts of tackles. I mean, forget about them. Arizona and Kyler Murray took an took an unbelievable shot and came right back, and his helmet flying off, and then he's throwing a touchdown pass to Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, he's playing out of his mind right now, and James Conner is a beast. Mm-hmm. You know, those two guys are playing high level, and obviously Marvin Harrison Jr. is starting to get more involved. And Wilson and the tight end, McBride, is a mother. I mean, and they're playing really good and confident. And their defense is really what shocked me. I thought when Washington played them, I thought they had the worst defense I'd ever seen. Their linebacking core took bad angles. They couldn't tackle. Now they're playing really good football, and they're putting it on people. And when you win a couple games in a row and people start to believe and get confidence, they get excited to come to work and go to practice, they're just going to get better and better. They're dangerous because of what Kyler can do, and obviously James Conner.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Jay, good stuff as always. Hope you're well. We'll talk to you we got the Thursday night games. We'll figure out the schedule and figure out what works for you next week with the Commanders playing on Thursday night. Thank you, as always.
All right, Chris. Thanks.
Appreciate you. That is Jay Gruden on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly, and Fairfax F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See. And shop them all at TedBritt.com. We'll take a timeout. You're going to hear from Alex Ovechkin's another step towards history for the Capitals over the weekend, Saturday night, specifically in St. Louis. That's coming up. Stay tuned.
Across to Brodus, rebound to Ovechkin, he scores! Alex Ovechkin lasers one from the top of the left circle! 12:18 to go! Second period, it's 2-1, Washington! To the front of the net, here's Ovechkin shooting, and a bucket is saved by Bennington, rebound back out into play, Ovechkin shoots, and scores! He does it again! It's a power play goal for Alex Ovechkin! From the left dot, 17:51 to go! It's 4-1, Washington!
Well, the Cats finally a couple things on that one. Nice little job sticking with it. Ovechkin, the recipient, the puck comes right over to him. Bennington all over the place on that one, making stops. Wide open net, he's not going to miss those. Quick snapshot, gets his second goal of the game.
On the 9th of November 2024, Alex Ovechkin now into double digits in goals on the season. That is his 10th. It is the 863rd of his NHL career. 31 to tie, 32 to pass Wayne Gretzky now for the most all time.
John Walton and Ken Sabourin on the Caps Radio Network Saturday night in St. Louis. Big win, blowout win, all of that. You heard all the numbers. 863 for the great eight. Man, he might get this by the new year. I mean, he is just on a torrid pace. Now, he didn't score on Friday night in a disappointing home loss to the Pittsburgh Penguins, which broke the streak. But since that game against the Rangers that I sent on the glass for, he has been on a heater, baby. Alex, whew, mercy, is pursuit of greatness is scored by Main Street Bank, your local bank, local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Again, that's mstreetbank.com for more information. Yeah, in that game against the Rangers that I sat on the glass for, he had the two goals. He had another goal two nights later for the game Matty was at Halloween against Montreal. Had another goal and two assists two nights later against Columbus. Had another goal the next night in Carolina. Had another goal and an assist against Nashville last Wednesday. Went scoreless in a minus two, by the way, but did have five shots against Pittsburgh on Friday night. And then comes right back, two goals and a plus one and five shots on goal. Against St. Louis in a blowout victory. Obviously, great win for the team considering back-to-backers. We had John Walton on the show on Friday before the Pittsburgh game, and before that St. Louis game. So if you missed that, still some good parts to it about how the team overall is performing because, well, kind of know what I'm talking about. So we ask good questions. So you can do that and have some fun with that along the way. All right. So again, congratulations to Alex Ovechkin. Every goal, you'll hear it right here on the Team 980 every time Alex Ovechkin scored. And it's presented by Main Street Bank. Why don't we get to the trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980. And then we're going to come back, clean up on aisle three. There's a lot to get to, if you could believe it, including what happened in college football over the weekend and a new college basketball top 25. We'll get to it all coming up on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so Dan Quinn met with the media already today, normally meets right around now, but because of a short week, no injury status updates, so we don't know if Marshawn Lattimore, if Brian Robinson, who's missed now two games in a row and three overall, we don't know about Andrew Wiley, who was active yesterday but didn't play, if those guys are going to be ready to go for the Philadelphia Eagles. Thursday night football, of course, comes up, Lincoln Financial Field. I'm doing the show from the link on Thursday afternoon, and then, of course, we'll be there for the game. So make sure you stay tuned on Thursday right here. Team 980 and the Odyssey app. We'll have in-game live, and Doc post-game afterwards. Meanwhile, tonight right here on the Team 980, we'll have Monday Night Football joined in progress. Maybe right around late second quarter, Miami and the L.A. Rams. Don't know about Tyreek Hill just yet for the Dolphins as he's dealing with a wrist injury. And that's preceded at 6:30 by Maryland basketball right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app following Craig Hoffman. Meanwhile, the Wizards, they need a win. They're in Houston. 7:45 the coverage for them. They are on Bloomberg 99.1 FM. And from baseball, Wander Franco, who's on a long-term suspension and ineligible list with the Tampa Bay Rays and facing a very serious trial and set of charges, has been arrested after an altercation which supposedly led to guns being drawn in the Dominican Republic. And that's what's trending on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Long build here. A Motown Misery Monday. Don't leave me this way, baby. Yeah, we don't want to be left with a frustrated feeling. It would be nice if we have a victory Friday, Matt, when I return from Philadelphia. That would be very nice. The Commanders 7-3. Thanks to Jay Gruden for joining us. Good breakdown if you missed it. Odyssey Rewind, or check out the podcast right after the show. TheTeam980.com. That'll have it all carved up and labeled for you. Easy to digest. But right now, yeah, and there's a big story brewing for Dum Dum of the Day, which we'll get to. That's gonna have a lot of people A lot of people happy, I guess, around here, maybe, or satisfied. I don't know what the right term is, but we'll have that for you. But you know what time it is. It is time to clean up the mess that we've left behind or that we haven't gotten to. I hope Matt's okay with it, because I didn't really ask what we may have missed, what we forgot, what we need to touch on, what we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. All right, how about we start with the Dallas Cowboys? Another, not very good loss. Not very good. 5-11. Not very good. They're not 5-11, but they are 3-6. Micah Parsons returned to the lineup. And now, of course, the death watch for Mike McCarthy begins. Micah Parsons was asked, quote, "That's above my pay grade. If Mike's coach again next year, all coaching is..." Oh, if Mike's coach again next year. "All coaching aside, Mike can leave and go where he wants to. Guys I kind of feel bad for is guys like Zach Martin and guys who might be on their last year on their way out, because that's who I wanted to hold the trophy for." interesting. I mean, he's calling out Zach Martin by name because, yeah, he's up there in age and bloated contract and all that. We all know some of their financial issues. We know the costs of re-signing CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott. Micah Parsons' contract situation is coming up. We will see what happens with all of that. But the Cowboys losing at home badly to the Philadelphia Eagles again yesterday, it also caused Jerry Jones to issue one of his weird statements. I don't have the audio for it, but he was talking about, and everybody knows this because the Commanders have been, indoctrinated by this, especially late in the year, Thanksgiving, because they played so many Thanksgiving games at AT&T Stadium. The sun monster that comes through the windows and the panes at AT&T Stadium. Well, apparently it got to the Cowboys yesterday, and Jerry had to, like, weirdly kind of say, well, of course everybody knows where the sun is coming from, and all this stuff. And I was like, all the things that Jerry said weird. And I understood where he's coming from because I bitched about the sun monster at AT&T Stadium, but it's always affected the opponent that I've seen, not necessarily the Cowboys. Of all the things I was expecting and all the things that have gone wrong with the Cowboys this year, I wasn't necessarily expecting Jerry Jones to do a dissertation on the sun monster. But this is what happens when you're 3-6. And by the way, Zach Martin, who Micah Parsons called out specifically, is 33, and he's a free agent to be. So it's going to be Mike McCarthy's not staying there. Can't imagine. Even though they were 12-5 the last 3 years. Regardless of how this season winds up. Barring a miracle turnaround here. I mean, it looks like Dak Prescott's going to go on IR, but we still haven't gotten official word on that. We will see. What a mess for the Dallas Cowboys. Nobody should feel bad for them. 3-6. And they're here in Landover at Northwest Stadium 13 days from right now. Meanwhile, the Chicago Bears, brutal home loss yesterday to the New England Patriots. Another disappointing performance by the offense. However, Matt Eberflus is still the head coach. Shane Waldron is still the offensive coordinator, although Eberflus admitted that he is considering certain situations, wouldn't get specific, nothing for right now, everything being evaluated. He said there will be changes, adjustments being made. I'm not going to disclose those right now. I'm not at that point in the process. So we will see if something happens tonight with Shane Waldron. Again, we'll see. But the Bears are now 3-5. 4-5. 19-3 loss to the New England Patriots yesterday. And Caleb Williams, not surprising, is staying as the starting quarterback. The Bears in their last three games to the Commanders, Cardinals, Patriots have scored 27 points in those three games. That's an average, boys and girls, of 9 points per game. All right, that is the NFL story for cleanup on aisle three. One thing I wanted to get to real quickly here from college football. Listen, nobody should be surprised, and I mean nobody, that Miami lost. They have been teeter-tottering on the brink of losing all year, and finally it caught up to them as Cam Ward fumbled as he was being sacked and hit from behind with about a buck 45 left and a chance to win the game at Georgia Tech. Good win for Georgia Tech. Obviously, they've had a couple of big wins this year. Disappointing in between, but they get the job done. Nobody should be surprised again by Miami. Miami should have three losses at Virginia Tech, at Cal, maybe another one, and then this one. Nobody should be surprised by that. I guess there was a little bit of surprise that Georgia got beat. So, listen, I mean, I don't know what to tell you other than the teams. There are teams that are going to win games that you just don't think they're going to win. Georgia at Texas is a perfect example. And then there are teams, and that was a couple of weeks ago, obviously. And then there are teams like Georgia who are going to go on the road. Tough place to play. Ole Miss, good quarterback, Jackson Dart, who's a little erratic. Didn't have a monster game by any stretch. And then they just come up flat. I mean, it happens in the NFL. It happens in college football all the time. Young kids, young teams. It just goes to show you coaching doesn't win games all by themselves. Because Kirby Smart didn't get dumb overnight to get blown out by 18 points on the road. So those were the two, I guess, big upsets. But again, nobody should be surprised. Nobody should be surprised by Miami losing. At least, certainly I wasn't. I don't, you know, if you are, I don't know what to tell you. And how about this? Former JMU head coach Kurt Cignetti has gone to Indiana and has rebuilt that program into what is now a 10-0 team, 7-0 in the Big Ten, 20-15 win against Michigan on Saturday. Good for Kurt Cignetti. And Florida State, in one fall swoop after dropping to 1-9 this year, getting blown out in South Bend Saturday night, 52-3, they fired their offensive coordinator, their defensive coordinator, and their wide receivers coach all in one shot. How about that? And could there be a bigger weirdo to get blown out at home on Saturday night than Brian Kelly? LSU, 42-13. Thanks, Alabama. And one final thing that we wanted to get to, because we try and get to as many things as we can from college hoops. Not that anybody really cares. Certainly I don't. But Kansas, still number one in the AP top 25. Gonzaga and Auburn into the top five. St. John's and Rick Pitino in the top 25 at number 22 for the Red Storm. All right, they haven't been in since 2019. All right, that is cleanup on aisle three, baby.
Cleanup in aisle three.
Can we get to one last one here? Yeah. All right, let's get to our guy, Athan in Annapolis. Double A, sorry about that. Just things kind of got away from me. How are you, pal?
Everything's good. Everything's good. Disappointed because of the loss, but I think it's a lack of the focus on fundamentals. I was talking to Doc about it yesterday, and you know, you have a team that hasn't had a losing record in north of two decades. So you muff a punt, and then you do the very next thing against them the next drive. It's not going to work. Then they dropped five passes. They only had 240 yards of offense, and that goes into that number. But I just think the biggest thing that that people are missing when they call in and say, we need a receiver. Okay, well, T. Higgins is hurt all the time. He misses six games a year, and you're going to pay him elite money and pay and trade draft picks? No.
I'm with you.
Then you have Benjamin St. Juste. Okay, Benjamin St. Juste is a average C player at best. Okay, he's going to do some good things, and there's going to be times where he gets those penalties, and it drives us crazy. But the guy that was drafted that should have been on Mike Williams played two plays on defense yesterday and three plays on special teams. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he's an F. So you have to make do with what you have. And A.J. Brown, if Lattimore doesn't play, probably going to have a feast out there on Thursday. We just have to deal with it. But what I just want to remind everybody of is while they're taking great strides, we've been one play away in like four games this year of losing those games, and we won them all. Mm-hmm. We just didn't make the plays yesterday. We weren't fundamental in a lot of things. We missed throws. It just wasn't there, and you can't leave it up to the referees at the end of the game to spot the ball in the right place, because more often than not, they get it wrong, just like I tweeted you. If they paid me $70 million a year and I had an entourage of posers making millions of dollars under me, I guarantee you I could get the rules right.
It's not only the rules right, though. It's still, we use digital technology for everything, and yet they didn't think, hey, we, instead of investing here or instead of expanding the game globally, we need to make sure we've got this right and that we've invested in getting this correct. And, you know, I know they're experimenting and I know they're slow to it. It's just the mind-boggling things that this league does or doesn't do that just drives me to drink. quite honestly.
Well, Chris, they choose not to do it. They choose not to do it. They can do anything they want.
Yeah,
they have
the
technology. They have everything at their disposal. Like you said, $17 billion they make a year, and they can't figure it out. No, they choose not to do it.
Yeah, so that's fair.
Hoping for this Thursday.
That's fair. I totally agree. Thank you, my friend. Always good to hear from you. Sorry to keep you on hold so long. That's going to be able to do it on the phones. We just can't get to everybody. I appreciate everybody who tried to chime in. Doc will be with us tomorrow, so we'll have plenty of time for your phone calls. Even though it's a short week, we'll get everybody in, and we'll have more to react to as well. Again, short week, heading to Philadelphia. We'll start talking more about that game and continue. One thing I wanted to get into tomorrow, we've touched on it, the drops, the non-catches, Jaden a little bit, the missed throws, the missed opportunities, the lack of a run game. They were just, again, generally across the board, inefficient. I did a big breakdown yesterday on Twitter, at WrestleMania621. You can go back and check it out, and I'll be mentioning it tomorrow. Way too many back-to-back negative play drives or negative yardage drives, including the worst, was negative 11, negative 11. You can't win games like that. You just cannot win games like that. Coming up next, dum-dum of the day, and it's a guy you all hated by the time last December rolled around, and you'll hate him a little bit more for what he is accused of doing. Next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Some might think they live in a brick house. And then there's Jack Del Rio. You know what time it is.
It's time for Dum Dum of the Day.
Yes. Right about this time, maybe a couple of weeks later. Actually, it was right after Thanksgiving. So I should say shy of a year ago. Jack Del Rio was fired as defensive coordinator of the Washington Commanders. Changed nothing, but it was a little bit of solace for Commanders fans. Well, what has Jack Del Rio been doing since? Not a lot of good. Not a lot of good. He joined the Wisconsin Badgers defensive staff. And now he's resigning from Wisconsin's coaching staff. Why, you might ask? Well, allegedly, Jack Del Rio drove his vehicle through a street sign.
Beep, beep.
Crashed through a fence.
Beep, beep.
Parked in someone's front lawn.
Beep, beep.
And then was arrested for driving under the influence.
Cue the fool said it already sold.
I don't mean to laugh. This is early Friday morning. Wisconsin played somebody on Saturday. I can't remember. Around 12:35 a.m. Thursday night into Friday morning is when he, again, hit a street sign, broke a fence, came to rest in a yard. This is according to Madison police. This is not, like some weird website or accusation or whatever. After witnesses directed officers to Del Rio, who was actually walking away from the area. He was transported to a local hospital, blood draw, and released to a responsible party. Who knows who that is, per the incident report, but he was determined to again be driving under the influence. Now, he's been working again as a special advisor to head coach Luke Fickell. And again, he is talking about he's going to resign from the Wisconsin program. And listen, I don't want to make fun of anybody by any means. This is a very, 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 very serious offense, if it is all true as it's been laid out. But I just don't understand. I literally do not understand how in a world where these guys make so much money and Jack Del Rio's got to have more money than he knows what to do with, how it is absolutely impossible for all of these guys to call a cab, Uber, Lyft, whatever it might be, a friend, a wife, a girlfriend, whatever it might be. What was that? Because they're dumb. Oh, well, that's true. So Jack Del Rio, and thanks to everybody who sent this story to me and for Barstool Sports having all the details. Jack Del Rio is no longer with Wisconsin. He is done. He is resigning his special advisor role, and I can't imagine this is going to help him get back into the NFL.
Congratulations. You're Chris's dum-dum of the day.
61 years old and still acting like a fool. There is, sorry, no excuse. None at all. None. Zero. Bad job. Even though nobody got hurt, thankfully. That's the best news. All right. That is going to do it for us. Rick Doc Walker tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Welcome back, Maddie. Greg Hoffman up next. Monday Night Football joined in progress after Maryland basketball here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Adios.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.